that first series, Yankees and Nationals. Two teams that come into this year with high expectations.
Two magical words, play ball.
You can catch that Yankees-Nationals game right here on ESPN Thursday night, 7 Eastern. It's scheduled to be Garrett Cole versus Max Scherzer. What a matchup there. And tomorrow night, by the way, ESPN top-ranked boxing, undefeated Oscar Valdez, is one win away from a shot at the junior lightweight title. But first, Valdez has to beat veteran Jason Velez. Coverage starts tomorrow night, 8 Eastern, on ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and the ESPN app. And we are just a couple seconds shy of 8 a.m. Eastern here on the East Coast. Get Up is here with you in Bristol, Connecticut. We have got a lot to get through this morning. I'm Ryan Smith, in for Mike Greenberg. So let's get to it, right? Here we go. Good morning. It's time to get up with the NFL, blasted by some of the league's biggest superstars. You'll hear why they're so upset and whether it could impact the season. Plus, the new dynamic duo in Tampa. Was this Brady and Gronk's plan all along? Gronk sets the record straight. And Patrick Mahomes showing off all that talent. Wait until you see what he is working on. You're not going to believe it. Get up. Starts right now. Well, again, let's get right into it. And believe it or not, we're just 52 days away from the Super Bowl champion Chiefs and the Houston Texans opening the NFL regular season, as rookies from both of those teams will be the first players to report to training camps today. But here's the thing. As players start to report, there's still plenty of uncertainty over player safety regarding how to play football and dealing with the pandemic. Dozens of NFL players took to Twitter yesterday, including these high-profile QBs. Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes getting ready to report this week, hoping the NFL will come to agreement with the safe and right protocols so we can feel protected playing the sport we love. Hashtag we want to play. That was a common hashtag. The Saints' Drew Brees. We need football. We need sports. We need hope. The NFL's unwillingness to follow the recommendations of their own medical experts will prevent that. If the NFL doesn't do their part to keep players healthy, there is no football in 2020. It's that simple. Get it done, NFL. And the Seahawks' Russell Wilson striking a personal note. I am concerned. My wife is pregnant. NFL training camp is about to start, and there's still no clear plan on player health and family safety. We want to play football, but we also want to protect our loved ones. Again, the hashtag, we want to play. So we are so pleased right now to have NFLPA Executive Committee member Sam Acho join us on the show. Now, Sam, we saw those tweets, several NFL players, including many superstars, on safety and how to return. What more can you tell us about how the We Want to Play mission came about?
Yeah, well, Ryan, the thing about the mission about We Want to Play is it's that simple. We really do want to play. We've been negotiating for months with owners about trying to find a safe and healthy return to work protocol. We've hired experts jointly hired by the NFLPA and the NFL, and those experts have made recommendations and the NFL has refused to follow them.
Like what? Give me an example.
So for example, there's a 6-week return to play protocol that the health experts recommended as far as getting ready for a football game, right? 52 days away, 6-week return to work protocol. That protocol did not include 2, 3, 4 preseason games because the experts didn't think that was going to be beneficial for us getting back to playing football and starting a season on time. Well, the NFL heard those recommendations and essentially ignored those recommendations. And now they're trying to get players back with as many preseason games as possible with less than the 6 weeks to get ready for that first game.
Now, Sam, we heard your sound before from earlier in the show. If the NFL doesn't come up with these plans, then players can't show up. So tell me specifically, what do you need to see from the league to tell your players, okay, you should show up now?
Specifically, we need something called an EIDR plan. That's an infectious disease emergency response plan. If some type of outbreak were to occur, we need to know what are the right steps and protocols in order to keep players safe and healthy. Right now, only one team has that in place. That's the Kansas City Chiefs. We've been talking about this response plan for weeks, for months, and the NFL has delayed and delayed, possibly part of their negotiating strategy in order to try and get as much as they can when it comes to money and even ignore health and safety. They've been delaying that. And so we need that from every single team.
Why, you know, what's interesting about this to me is they've had all this time to come to this point, and we know that negotiations often come until the last minute. But you talk about the delay. In your opinion, why do you think they're delaying, considering the fact that all over the country, this is sort of the most important issue? Is everybody going to be safe in their respective work environments?
Well, it's strategy. Anybody who knows anything about negotiation, you also know that there's an issue of timing that comes into play. Specifically here, when you're negotiating as an owner with players, you want to try and bump those players up against a self-perceived timeline. The 28th is when we report. Some rookies report today. And so they've been delaying in their negotiations in order to try and squeeze as much as they can from the players. But as you've seen in the We Want to Play movement, the players are letting NFL know we desire to play, but we're also not going to put our health, our family's health, and society's health at risk.
So is your sense that some of the biggest stars in the league are not going to show up?
That's not my sense at all, Ryan. My sense is that the NFL will get things done. I think the NFL will listen. I think they know they have to. Because if there's not, put it simply, the NFL as an employer has a responsibility to create a safe and healthy workplace for their employees, the players. If those employees are not in a safe and healthy workplace and they don't have to show up to work, simple as that. Yeah. And so if the NFL doesn't get it done, then I think players won't show up. But I think the NFL knows what's at stake, and I think they know they have to get something done.
Okay. Now, we know that under the collective bargaining agreement, if players don't show up, they have to report or they face fines or penalties. So this is very interesting as it impacts the NFL rank and file. There are a lot of players out there that don't have a lot of money, that they need the game check. So how can those players that need that game check not show up if their families are relying on that check?
Well, it's interesting you bring that point up. A lot of the players we're seeing on the screen, the Lamar Jackson, Saquon Barkley's, the Aaron Rodgers, a lot of those players are making big money or about to make some big money, Christian McCaffrey as well. So they want to play as well. They don't want to not show up and not get paid their large contracts. So this doesn't just affect the rank and file. It affects the superstars. It affects everyone in the league. Everyone wants to come back and play. And that's why we're waiting. We're hoping. We're pleading. We're asking the NFL to come to the bargaining table and give us some proper recommendations for a return to work protocol in a healthy and safe way.
Sam, we were talking about this earlier in the show, the idea of a bubble. We know the NBA has created one around their players. We know it's late in the game, but as you look at this experience and what's happening right now with your negotiations with the NFL, do you think that in retrospect it would have been maybe a little bit more helpful to enact a bubble? How does that play in your thinking?
Yeah, well, it's funny, I got a book coming out in the fall called Let the World See You. And in that book, I talk about this idea of bargaining with billionaires, how you go about these negotiations and try to make something happen. And oftentimes, when you are in somewhat of a bubble in a different perspective, right, a billionaire bubble, you're not thinking about the ways that certain athletes and certain players or people who are below you are affected. And so in this particular case, I think that number one, a bubble doesn't work. It's got too many players. We've got 90 guys, 100 if you count guys who are going to be on IR. So it doesn't make sense. But there are also different, interesting, and unique ways that we can go about getting a healthy season started. And I think that the players have been trying to recommend those ways to ownership. I think the ownership needs to step up and listen.
Just give me a sense, and I have a couple seconds left. We know you mentioned the back and forth, but you have only a couple of days to get this done. You mentioned that you think things are going to happen. What is the level of frustration that some of these superstars feel? And if it doesn't happen in the way you want it to happen, what then will happen for you as you advise these players?
Yeah, well, I'm not frustrated. I don't think we're frustrated. I think we were a little bit perturbed in the fact that things weren't getting moved fast enough. But I believe that in the next 7 days, there will be a return to work protocol in place.
All right, Sam Acho, we certainly wish you the best, and certainly safety has to be paramount here. We appreciate the time, too, Sam. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, want to bring back in our crew, Diana, Damian Woody, Rob Ninkovich. Diana, we'll start with you. You know, it's interesting. Sam mentioned we need to see this IDER plan, but that only one team has provided it. It just seems, I certainly understand negotiation, especially coming from a legal background, haven't done this, but it's just a couple days left. And only one of those? It just seems like it's just not far along enough for this to really happen on time.
Yeah, I had one person in the league mentioned to me. He said, you know, it's interesting. You have all these smart people in the NFL. It's almost like it's almost hurting them because there's so many ideas that have been put and thrown across the table here to try to solve these problems, yet there has been no answer just yet. You know, I did have one high-ranking official reach out to me yesterday, or at least I reached out to him in response to these players tweeting that they want to play. And, you know, he said this, the thing that makes this interesting is the players, they want to drag this through the media. They want to let fans know that they want to play to sort of get some of that sympathy. But some of the asks that they have are a lot for some of these organizations. So there are two sides to the story. And we heard Sam say they just want to be heard and they want some of these requests met. Now it's going to be up to the NFL whether they want to meet halfway. Now remember, they don't want to play any preseason games. The players do. The league wants them to play something and the players want to be tested daily. As of now, that's not what the league wants.
You know, and Damian, I it's an interesting point that Sam made. This is negotiation. This is strategy. But Damian, do you think that when we talk about negotiation, it doesn't always work out and sometimes there are impasses. Do you think that we could be looking at a potentially a season here that could possibly be postponed or at least put off for a little bit?
I mean, listen, there's always a possibility of things, the timeline getting pushed back a little bit if it's going to help the overall cause in a particular situation. But I mean, again, here we are on the doorsteps of training camp and you got the Houston Texans rookies reporting today and we still don't have these protocols set in place, which is to me is just it's inexcusable on the league's part. I mean, you got to understand with MLB and the NBA, they were dealing with this during the season. The NFL was in the offseason and here we are again. We don't have everything in place. It's just head scratching right now, in my opinion.
Yeah, and you think that all of this is still subject to state and local governments and what happens there. So, Rob, what are your thoughts on whether or not the season happens on time?
Well, I mean, you can tell that the ownership wants it to happen on time because they would be losing money if they didn't have it start on time. So, you know, I think that everything is going to go as planned and hopefully everything works out. But if they were to push it back, I mean, the only thing I could think of is maybe a better plan on treatment or how long guys have to stay out, better testing, because you have to have better testing. I think that's the most important part of this deal is to be tested daily and not have a 2-3-4 week delay in your results. You have to understand what you know, if you're healthy, if you're not, and you have to know that day.
Yeah, and safety is key in all this. And Sam Acho making the point that, hey, we got to make sure that everybody stays safe. Optimistic point there. Guys, hang around. We'll be right back with you. But coming up on Get Up, they drafted his replacement. So what happens if things go south for Aaron Rodgers and the Packers? We'll talk about that when we come back. And all Tom Brady's done is win. But how much do Brady and the Bucs need to do just that to be a success? Our experts will tell you if it's Super Bowl or bust. Welcome back to Get Up and more football as teams report to camps this week. Here are some huge offseason storylines to get into. Let's bring back our team. Rob, do you expect Tom Brady to thrive in Tampa Bay?
Yes, I do. Look at Tampa Bay's offense is stacked. You think about Rob Gronkowski coming back after a year of retirement. He's fresh, ready to go. You got Tom Brady about to just go out there and just cause fits for defenses. So I expect Tampa Bay to not only win the division, but to also get into the playoffs, deep into the playoffs. I can't wait to watch.
All right, we'll get more on that in just a little bit. Now, Damian Woody, is Dak Prescott playing under the franchise tag going to be a distraction?
Absolutely not. You know, when you think about Dak Prescott, you know, the guy has, you know, has been a model citizen on and off the field for the Dallas Cowboys. And you know, I understand this might not be the ideal situation for him, looking for long-term security, but Dak Prescott has always been about the team and look for him to have another big year for the Dallas Cowboys.
He continues to get it done. Diana, how do you expect Cam and Bill to mesh in New England?
So Bill Belichick is going to have tons of respect for Cam Newton, what he's accomplished when he was with the Carolina Panthers. And oh, yeah, what Cam Newton has done against this Patriots defense, which has had tons and tons of success. If Cam comes in there focused, ready to go, their relationship's going to be fine. Because remember, Bill Belichick has no problem calling out any player in a room. If Tom Brady can get called out in a meeting, Cam Newton will be. And I think all that will work out together.
As long as they're winning, we'll all say they're meshing. So that gets us, by the way, to Green Bay, where the Packers enter the 2020 season with a 36-year-old Aaron Rodgers and a 21-year-old Jordan Love backing him up. Now, Green Bay traded up in the first round of April's draft to take Love, despite Rodgers being under contract through 2023. So, cue drama there, as we all talked about for weeks. So, I want to bring our team back in. Rob, I'll start with you. What did we expect from Aaron Rodgers this season?
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
A motivated Aaron Rodgers. Look, would you draft somebody in your position? He's been there. He was that guy that was drafted high when there was already a Hall of Fame quarterback there. So he understands the business. He understands why the team is doing it. So I would expect him to be extra motivated to go out there and to have another great season. And look, I think Rodgers is going to do it. He's going to prove to the organization, not only last year did he play well, he led the team and let them win. If they didn't have Aaron Rodgers at their quarterback, they wouldn't have won as many games as they did last year. So they didn't go out there and they didn't get him any help. They just went out there and they drafted a first-round quarterback, which that has me scratching my head.
Yeah, I'm betting he didn't love that. Well, we kind of know he didn't love that. But, Damien, what do you think? What are the expectations for him this season?
Well, I expect him to have a big year. Again, you know, like Rob said, I think he's going to come in highly motivated. He's heard all the whispers, you know, from people saying that he's been on a decline for the past couple of years. He hasn't been the typical Aaron Rodgers that we've seen in the past. So, you know, I understand that the Green Bay Packers didn't draft a wide receiver in the first round like most people thought they would. But I think the younger guys that the Green Bay Packers expect to develop and become bigger contributors, I think all those things will happen. And Aaron Rodgers will have a hell of a year this year.
Okay, Diana?
Ryan, I know Damian and Rob really well. I don't know why they're being so polite this morning. I don't know what's going on with this motivated Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers isn't motivated. Aaron Rodgers is pissed off. Everyone knows exactly how he's feeling here. He's done a great job because he's a professional and he's been playing in the league long enough to know that everyone's watching him under a microscope, his behavior. But everyone knows behind closed doors, Aaron Rodgers is livid that Jordan Love is on this roster. He'll be a good teammate. He'll figure it out. He'll help him grow. But this is going to be a season where we're going to see Aaron Rodgers light the world on fire to make sure that everyone in Green Bay knows his time is not done.
I like it, Diana. He's going to be cranky. He's going to be angry. Although, guys, I like the motivated part. But Rob, I got to say this. You mentioned this point of they didn't bring in any weapons. They brought in Jordan Love. So here's my thing, and I hate to be the naysayer of all of this. I feel like I'm having this kind of naysayer morning. But, Rob, what happens if he struggles? What happens if things don't go well first couple games?
They got a young guy to come in, and I guess, you know, the head coach understands we're drafting a young guy to go out there and do exactly what we tell him to do. If you're an offensive coordinator or you're the head coach and you give Aaron Rodgers a play and he thinks about it, he's like, I don't like this play, I'm going to change the play. What can you do to Aaron Rodgers? Absolutely nothing. If Aaron Rodgers has a little bit of struggles and doesn't go out there and ball out, which I think he will do, you put a young quarterback out there and you say, hey, this is what you're running. You run what we want you to run, and he's going to go out there and do that. Because guess what? He's a rookie, and he's going to do what he's told to do. Aaron Rodgers, on the other hand, he's going to do what he thinks is best for himself and the team to win. That's what a good quarterback does. He puts the offense in the best possible play to win.
Diana, that makes me think, though, how much do you think he'll be mentoring Jordan Love?
All right. I think he'll be helpful. I don't think he's going to be his you know, role model and try to do everything to make him great. I think we're also assuming that Jordan Love is the backup quarterback. Well, that makes sense. This is why they drafted him at the spot that they did. I don't think Matt LaFleur is going to throw that rookie in there as the backup quarterback just yet, especially with this condensed offseason. They may give Tim Boyle that time to sit behind Aaron Rodgers, because we know once we see Jordan Love in there, the pressure is on. And I'm not sure if Green Bay thinks that's the smart move just yet.
Right, that's key. And, you know, let's not forget how it was for Aaron Rodgers with Brett Favre there in the beginning. Now Rodgers in that situation with Jordan Love. Be interesting to see the dynamic between the two of them. All right, guys. And Damian Woody, stick around with us, because we've got some eye candy right here. I want you to weigh in. Former Steelers James Harrison. Yes! He posted this on Instagram this weekend, going full WWE, finishing in the pool.
Hey,
weigh in.
Hey, Ryan, I swear, man, I was doing this weekend with my boys, man. So, like, James Harrison and myself, we think alike. We like doing these type of things, but the moves look good, man. Like, he got it down pat. So, I think he got a future. WWE need to hit him up.
Are your boys what? What's that guy like? 5'10", maybe 180.
Yeah, my boys are tall and they're tall and lanky, man. So I don't have any biggins yet, but yeah, I was definitely performing those moves.
Oh man, that's classic. All right, well, coming up, the new dynamic duo in Tampa. Was this Brady and Gronk's plan all along? And what's it going to be like defending them? One of our analysts shares his experience coming up next. Welcome back to Get Up, and let's get up and go. And let's start with golf, where Jon Rahm entered the final round of the Memorial with a 4-shot lead. And he never looked back, winning by 3 strokes. And in the process, he took over the number one spot in the world golf rankings. And Tiger Woods did make his return to the tournament golf at the Memorial. He struggled just to make the cut on the number. He shot a final round 76 yesterday, en route to a 40th finish. Tied for 40th, actually. Now, Yankee fans were certainly given 3 reasons last night to get excited for Thursday's season opener, as Aaron Judge hit not one but 2 homers in an exhibition game last night against the Mets. And his Bass brother, Giancarlo Stanton, also went yard as the Yankees blanked the Mets 6-0. And to the NBA, no, let's go with Rob Gronkowski. How about this? Right? After retiring for the NFL 2018 season, Rob Gronkowski is back. He was traded to the Bucs to reunite with his old quarterback, Tom Brady. But here's the thing. In a recent interview on WEEI, Gronk revealed that there was never some grand plan out there for a reunion. He said, "I love my time in New England, no doubt about it. But it was another opportunity that presented. But no, never really ever talked about that before. It just kind of happened with my retirement and him hitting free agency. It just kind of lined up like that. And I tell you, folks, this reunion is something the NFL world is watching for in 2020.
If there's any doubt about Tom Brady's influence, look no further than Rob Gronkowski, whom Brady convinced the Bucs to trade for in late April.
Yeah, all I know is when.
The two have connected on 90 touchdown passes, the most by far of any target in Brady's career.
Brady arches a pass down the near sideline. A diving catch, Gronkowski!
All I know is when.
While head coach Bruce Arians already runs a base offense with 2 tight ends, he's not known to feature the position a whole lot vertically. So this reunited tandem of Brady and Gronk can add a new dimension in Tampa Bay. Plus, the presence of Gronk should open up things for receivers Mike Evans and Chris Godwin on the outside.
It's going to be the same offense, a lot of collaboration together on the things he likes once he gets to know our weapons and things in that I'm sure we already have them. It's just what we call them.
What will be most interesting is how Gronk's body holds up. Pain was the primary reason he chose to retire after the 2018 season. But a rekindled flame and the love of a teammate brought him back.
All I know is when.
For a shot at his 4th Super Bowl ring.
All right, that was Jenna Lane reporting there. Let's bring our group back in, Diana, D. Wood, and Rob. So, Rob, what are the expectations for you in terms of the impact Gronk's going to have?
Huge impact. High expectations. I think Rob Gronkowski is going to be Tom Brady's go-to red zone target. And that's because he's 6'6" and can go up and catch anything, anywhere. His wingspan, everything that he brings to the table. I can remember personally when he came in as a rookie, I had been in the league a little bit. I was like, hey, I'm going to cover this guy. You can be right on top of Rob Gronkowski. You can have absolutely great coverage on Rob Gronkowski, and Tom Brady's going to put the ball where you can't defend it. So, you know, I think that that is going to be a huge factor for Tampa Bay this year, having Rob Gronkowski on the field in the red zone. It's going to cause fits for defenses. They're not going to know what to do, who to double cover, and that's going to help Tom Brady go out there and perform at a very high level again this year.
You talk about Arians not featuring the position in the past. How can he not with all those weapons there? So, D. Wood, what would constitute a successful season, do you think, for the Bucs in 2020?
Well, I think minimum is making the playoffs. Remember, the Bucs were 7-9 last year, and that was the quarterback of Jameis Winston having 30 turnovers, 30-plus turnovers last year. When you bring Tom Brady into the mix, you know he's not going to turn the ball over. That's one thing he's done, one of many things he's done well, exceptionally well over his career. So that should absolutely get the Bucs into the playoffs. And once you get into the tournament, it's anybody's game. And with this Buccaneers roster, offensively, they got as many weapons as any team in the National Football League, and an underrated defense led by Todd Bowles. They got better and better as the season progressed last year. This team could be scary and could find their way into the Super Bowl this year.
Wow, Super Bowl talk. Okay, I like that. Diana, you know, Gronk and Brady, they've always had this unique chemistry. They've always been able to get on the same page. But I wonder, with all these weapons down there and him maybe leaning to, preferring Gronk, I wonder how that could impact a season.
Oh, certainly. Ryan, whatever you have at home that makes you feel secure and safe, that's essentially what Rob Gronkowski is going to be for Tom Brady. You heard Gronk in that interview talk about how much work it takes to actually build that chemistry with the quarterback, and they certainly have years of that. And look, Rob Gronkowski isn't the same Gronk that Ninkovich was just talking about when they were in practice years ago. He's definitely beat up and dealing with some of those injuries. He's healthy, but he's just not the same Gronk. That being said, think about how much unknown there is for Tom Brady right now. He's with a new team, with new guys. Now he just has Gronk there that he can rely on. So, yeah, they've got a plethora of weapons here. But when it comes down to it, there's going to be that one guy he's going to go to that he knows he can depend on, and that's going to be Gronk.
I love how you say whatever you have at home that makes you secure and safe. It's like his whoopee. So Rob, is that what Gronk is for Brady? Is he his whoopee?
I mean, whatever you want to call it, it's his go-to guy when the game's on the line. And if he needs a touchdown, he needs a first down, he's going to be looking for Gronk. I can guarantee that, because he's that big, he's that good. And I don't care, you know, he took a year off. He's probably going to be better this year than he was his last year playing, because he's feeling fresh, he feels good. And having the stress of being in pain, I mean, that takes a toll on you. So I think that he's going to be in a great place mentally. And he's already said that he's excited to be out there and playing again.
It's okay if you don't want to say the word whoopee. I get it, man. You're big, you're tough. If you say it, people are going to look at you sideways.
What's a whoopee? I say dude. A dude.
A dude? Okay. D Wood, what do you got? You got a blankie
That's
there?
A
whoopee?
Yeah,
what do you think? What do you say?
Not food. How about that? I don't know about whoopee or anything. How about food? You know, you talk about something comfortable. Food is that for me. So y'all can keep all the other stuff.
Oh, you guys. All right. Thanks. We'll be right back with you. Hey, you know what? I want to turn to college football for a second, where LSU is the defending national champion. But the coronavirus pandemic, here's the thing. It's cast a huge shadow over what will happen with the upcoming season. Now, there's also a lot of optimism from some. Tigers head coach Ed Orgeron, confident his team's going to play and will be ready to go. Listen to this.
We're ready to play. There's no uncertainty here, I tell you that. We're focusing. We're focusing on having a great season, the task in hand. We understand that there's some stuff going on out there, where what time the season is going to start, who we're going to play, when we're going to play. That doesn't matter to us. We focus in on working hard in the weight room, getting in great shape, leadership, promoting a great culture here. I'm fired up about what's going on at LSU.
Let's bring in Heather Dinich, Paul Feinbaum, to talk more about this. All right, so Heather, Coach O, obviously, he's fired up. He's talking about, I'm ready to play. We're going to play. We're going to play. How much of an impact do you think this has on whether or not we're actually going to play?
Well, to be clear, the decision makers in the sport right now start with the coronavirus and then go to the SEC's medical advisory panel. But one source in the SEC told me last night that they expect to make a decision at the end of next week. I'm talking about July 31st, as to whether or not the season can start on time. And if it can't, they might push it back to September 19th or maybe October 3rd. Now, if you get into October for a start of the season, I think that's when you might see the SEC say, okay, we're going to go to a conference-only schedule to fit this in. But equally as important is they could also say conference plus one so that they could preserve those SEC-ACC rivalry games plus games like Arkansas, Notre Dame, and also LSU, Texas. But to be clear, as much as Coach O wants to play, it's really not quite in his hands at this point.
Yeah, all he can do is sound that optimistic note, especially for his team. I'm sure that's how he's got to at least take it in the locker room. So, Paul, with that optimism and hearing what Heather just said, is there a reason for optimism at this point?
I just wrote in Coach O for president, by the way, Ryan. I love his optimism, but yeah, I didn't. By the way, I didn't believe him when he said he could beat Alabama this year, so I'm not going against him. But he is the embodiment of what you want in a head football coach. Back to the real question. Optimism is not going to get the football season started on time, and Heather is correct. The numbers are. And right now, we all know what's going on. So I don't know what will change from today to the end of next week for the SEC or anyone else. It's unlikely that the spikes are going to stop. We can hope. We can pray. But I think they're facing, unfortunately, they're facing a delay of the college football season.
Yeah, and you have no sense, Heather. It's hard to get a sense of when things will start, what everyone will be doing. But this week is a critical run, right, in the grand scheme of college football's return.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
It is. In terms of the college football calendar, on Friday is when that two-week enhanced summer access period begins. This is a new part of the college football summer calendar because of the coronavirus. And what this does is allows, finally, football players to have a football in their hands outside doing walkthroughs. So this is something that the commissioners wanted to wait to see. What does that experience look like? Big 12 Commissioner Bob Bowlsby took it a step further and told me that he would like to get to a point where they're wearing helmets and pads to evaluate what that type of experience is looking like before making a decision. And this two-week period that starts on Friday is a precursor to that, to what Bowlsby's talking about, which is your typical summer preseason camp experience.
Okay, so that could be a big turning point there. So, Paul, I want to give you the final word on this. And I know we talk about this every time we talk on air. At this point, what do you think the chances that the season is postponed? Or actually, let me change that. Delayed.
I think they're very high that the season will be delayed. But I tell you something, Ryan, that I heard at the top of your broadcast here today that I think could have a significant impact on college football. And that's what the NFL players are saying. What does that have to do with college football? Where every college football player looks up to these gentlemen. And I think if you start hearing more players in the NFL, especially the bigger names, say, we don't feel comfortable, you may see a trickle down to the college player. College players are a lot more vocal than they used to be, and we have really not heard from them yet. So keep your eye on that story as this week unfolds.
I think that's a critical point because they are going to go out there and play the same game these NFL players are going to play. They want to make sure they are safe as well. Paul, Heather, thank you so much. Great job, you guys. And I want to highlight this for everybody. Tomorrow on ESPN, our Serie A coverage continues as Atalanta tries to keep that championship hopes alive when they face Bologna. Tomorrow, 1:25 Eastern on ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and the ESPN app. So coming up, I want to just put this out there for you. What if Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes switch places? One of our analysts is doubling down on his love for Lamar, and we will tell you what that means when we come back. But first, a little sneaky hembo time. This one's going to be for you, D. Wood. Who is the last quarterback to win the NFC East in consecutive seasons? It's kind of a head scratcher. We'll tell you when we come back. Back with you with a little sneaky hembo time. This one's for you, D. Wood. Who is the last quarterback to win the NFC East in consecutive seasons?
I'm going to go with Donovan McNabb.
Oh, man. I was trying to throw you by saying it's a head scratcher, and you got it right. Donovan McNabb did it 4 years in a row from 2001 mm-hmm. to 2004. Take that, Hembo. Good one, D. Wood. Hey, by the way, let's stay in the NFC East with another Eagle. Carson Wentz has certainly dealt with his fair share of injuries in his career. But, you know, he did start all 13 games and all 16 games in 2019 before he being knocked out of the Eagles' wild card playoff loss to the Seahawks due to a concussion. But his teammates are encouraged about a big 2020 season. Here's what his lineman Lane Johnson said, Pro Bowl tackle. He said this, as far as having the pieces around him this year and really ready to click, I think he's ready for a prime time season. And when he's healthy, man, he's so dangerous. Let's go on the clock, put 1 minute up. Okay, Rob, who do you think is better this season, Dak or Wentz?
I'm going with Dak. Look, availability beats ability. And every single Sunday, I know Dak's going to be there. So that's my guy right there. I got to go with Dak. I think he has a better season than Wentz.
Availability beats ability. Woody, what do you think?
I'm going with Carson Wentz. I think the Philadelphia Eagles did a great job of adding more weapons at the wide receiver position with DeSean Jackson and drafting Jalen Reagor out of TCU. And listen, you just look at what Carson Wentz did at the end of the season last year. Was able to beat Dak with a depleted roster to get into to win the NFC East and get into the postseason. So I'm going with Carson Wentz here.
All right, and Rob gave him some time there, so we got a lot of time left over. All right, so Rob, we'll let you take the time this time. Who has the better season, Brady or Breeze?
I'm going with Tom Brady. Look, last year, Drew Brees, I know he had great stats. Ton of weapons on the Saints roster, by the way. You got to think, they would bring in a quarterback to throw a Hail Mary for him. They would bring in a quarterback in Hill to come in and throw the ball down the field with trick plays and in the red zone. So I'm going with Tom Brady. I feel like Tom Brady at this particular stage in his career with the weapons. Now he's going to Tampa with a ton of weapons. I think Tom Brady is not only going to be the best quarterback in that division, they're going to win the division, and he's going to be the better quarterback over Drew Brees.
Win the division. Notice he didn't say Super Bowl, but I'll let that go for now. Woody, what do you think?
I'm going to go with Drew Brees. Listen, in the offseason, we're in a year where we had no offseason, continuity matters. And I'm betting on Sean Payton and Drew Brees combination. Michael Thomas, you're bringing in Emmanuel Sanders over from San Francisco 49ers. I think the continuity that they have on offense with those two quarterback coach tandem, I think that'll get, in my opinion, I think Drew Brees will edge Tom Brady, who I think will have a great season, but I'm going to give the edge to Drew Brees.
All right, now finally, Woody, Mahomes, or the field for MVP?
I'm going Mahomes, man. Listen, they return and seem like everybody on their team, particularly on offense. You know, then you add Edwards-Helaire at the running back position in the first round. So you made an already dangerous offense even more dangerous. So I'm going with Pat Mahomes. Again, continuity matters. And when you got that bad man with Pat Mahomes at quarterback, give me him over the field.
It's like the rich get richer. Rob, what do you think?
I agree. I think Pat Mahomes is going to run away with it because his offense is loaded. But I would say this. If Lamar Jackson, if you take those two quarterbacks and you flip teams and you put Pat Mahomes on the Ravens and Lamar Jackson on the Kansas City Chiefs, Lamar Jackson would be back-to-back MVPs because Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, the weapons that they have offensively, I think that Lamar Jackson would be the MVP. Pat Mahomes would struggle in the Ravens offense with the receiving core that they
really
have.
Really? Okay, Woody, jump in on that. He would struggle. Let's just keep going with this because we can't let this go. He would struggle with the Ravens, but Lamar Jackson would get MVPs with KC. What do you think about that?
Rob, did you say the Hall of Fame of Pat Mahomes would struggle in Baltimore with John Harbaugh? Like, we're talking about future Hall of Fame.
You're putting the jacket?
What are we talking here?
Are you saying Pat Mahomes is a Hall of Famer right now?
No, but he's damn close. I'm saying it all. I'm calling it already. From what I see from Pat Mahomes already in his career, I'm about ready to put the gold jacket on him. Listen, if Pat Mahomes, I don't care what offense you put Pat Mahomes in. Pat Mahomes is going to excel. Pat Mahomes is going to be up for MVP. That's the way I see it. He's a transcendent talent. He's a rare talent that you only see once in a generation. So you put Pat Mahomes with John Harbaugh, who's one of the best head coaches in the National Football League, in the Baltimore Ravens organization, which is one of the best. Pat Mahomes is going to ball out, plain and simple.
Hey, Rob, let me just ask you this. Do you think Lamar Jackson is a better quarterback than Pat Mahomes?
Not yet, but I feel like he will be. I think this season is going to be another huge leap forward for Lamar Jackson.
Wow. All right, but he'd be a better fit. I mean, I'm impressed by that because Patrick Mahomes, you would think, could succeed in any system. But it's interesting, you guys, when we look at this, that Lamar Jackson in KC could be successful, but Patrick Mahomes not MVP caliber with the Ravens. So Rob, when people are going to eventually hit you up on Twitter and say, what in the world are you talking about? What will you say to them?
I would say that, look, you look at the skill set in Lamar Jackson, the things that he's able to do. Pat Mahomes is, yeah, he can get out of trouble and he could use his feet, but Lamar Jackson is the fastest man on the field. And you put that together with Tyreek Hill, that is just dynamite. Like, how could you stop that? A guy, you put two of the fastest men in the NFL on the field at the same time, that would be unstoppable. So you look at the pure speed and talent that Kansas City has across the board offensively, you put Lamar Jackson in that position, he's going to be successful no matter what. And on the flip side of that, Pat Mahomes, yeah, great player. I'm not taking anything away from Pat Mahomes. I just think he wouldn't have as successful a season with the Ravens as he is going to have with Kansas City.
Okay, I like it. Doubling down on it. And by the way, Woody couldn't get closer to that camera. That close-up shot on him with the smirk, he was like, come on, man. By the way, let's get to some eye candy. Speaking of Mahomes, check this out. Oof. Who does this, man? Incredible behind-the-back pass. Seems so effortless. D-Wood, what do you think?
That's why I said the Hall of Fame is solid. Like, that's just crazy, man. But listen, I don't think he would do that in the game. But
no?
how many people is able to do anything remotely close to that? This dude is sick, man. He's in his own stratosphere.
We've seen him do it in practice before. Rob, you think he would do it in a game?
Better make sure the ball's going forward, because if it's not, that's a fumble. So if I'm a defensive player and that ball is not caught, I'm scooping and I'm scoring no matter what. I'll let the officials figure it out.
It's like, I'll take that. Keep practicing it, Patrick Mahomes. We'll see what happens. Hey, guys, thank you so much. Appreciate it. Coming up, the NFL's biggest stars are teaming up on Twitter to rip the league. So why are they so upset? And how this could impact the season? SportsCenter will have much more at the top of the hour. Tomorrow night on ESPN, top-ranked boxing undefeated former featherweight champion Oscar Valdez is looking for a shot at the junior lightweight title, but first, Valdez has to beat veteran Jason Velez. Coverage starts tomorrow night at 8 Eastern on ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and the ESPN app. But, you know, I had to bring this back. A little meanwhile on planet Earth for you. A 2003-2004 LeBron James Upper Deck rookie card sold at auction for $1.845 million. It set a record for any sports card produced after 1980, and there's only 23 versions of this particular card. So when SportsCenter sent an Instagram out reporting this news, LeBron responded with this very interesting nugget, D-Wood. Guess who else has a couple of those exact ones, too? Oh! D-Wood, how much is your rookie card worth?
Maybe about $10, maybe. I don't know. I'm just being a little humble. But I'm going to tell you one thing. I'm going to go right on upstairs to my boys' room. I'm going to check, see if I got one of them cards right there, because the boys, they collected. So I'm going to see if I hit jackpot.
Seriously. Or look, if you're friends with LeBron, just call him up and be like, can I just borrow one for a couple days? I'll give it back to you, man. No problem.
I'll let your boy. Then go ahead and break me off a little bit of that.
All right, everybody, thanks for joining us. Soccer starts right now.